Thank you, Dan. I think you should continue on and finish the meeting. The thought that I was looking at this morning has to do with the old and new. So you've done very good preparatory work there in the songs and the verse that was quoted. Let's quote it together. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Luke chapter 5, Gospel of Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse 36. We've entered a new year, a new millennium, but the best millennium is yet to come, isn't it? The best millennium is yet to come. The Word of God speaks much of the 1,000 years reign of the Lord Jesus. It's not the word millennium is not found, but the word kingdom is found, isn't it? And the kingdom in which the Lord Jesus Christ will reign as king, in which righteousness will dwell, where peace will dwell, is the real, true millennium that is spoken of in the Word of God. Before that time comes the great day of judgment, doesn't it? The great tribulation time when the wrath of God will be poured out upon mankind because of their rejection of His beloved Son and His work of redemption. There's great days of judgment ahead before the best millennium will come into view. Israel will be faced with tremendous judgment such as never been before. And when Israel turns their knees bowed and eyes focused to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they recognize Him and cry to Him to deliver them from such judgment and terror of the wrath of God, and as He comes and redeems His own, He will usher in the great and the best new millennium. We're going to look at a few thoughts along that line. But I wanted to start out with the aspect of new and old that we find as the Lord Jesus sat with the publicans and the sinners. He sat and ate with them. He was asked as to why He would sit with them. And He said, because they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to those who were steeped in Judaism, those that were holding true to the law, seeking to, and those of the religious rulers of the time, as He came to show them the new and living way. Now notice in verse 36, and He spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. The thought here is the fact that we have a group of religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were following the old ways, and the Lord Jesus came to bring that which was new. He entered in as He came here to this world, as He came as a babe in a manger, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He came and He brought in the new way, didn't He? The way of salvation would be opened up through His death on the cross of Calvary for us. He brought in the new way, didn't he? The religious rulers of that time rejected him and were clinging to the old ways and failing to recognize that he was the one who was to open up the new and living way, even salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to die on the cross, to shed his precious blood, that man might have forgiveness of sin, might have access to the Father, have life eternal. He brought in the new way. And we find, I'd like for us to focus for a moment on the illustration that he uses in the parable of the garment. And then he used the illustration of the wine. And the garment speaking of something that is outward, that is put on outward. The garment is used as clothing, as an outward. The wine speaks of the inward, doesn't it? The wine within speaks of joy, but it is taken inward. And so we have the two areas that we can think of as the inward and the outward part of man. And that's what the Lord came to deal with, didn't he? He came to deal with the heart of man. And there's nothing new today about the heart of man, isn't it? Oh, the outward evidences of it is certainly worse. But man's heart has been deceitful and desperately wicked right from the beginning. We see even in Noah's time how wickedness prevailed, and the thoughts and the imaginations of man's heart was only evil continually. You see, the heart of man has always been wicked. There's nothing new as far as the condition of the heart of man. But for God to be able to make man a new creature and to forgive man of his sin, and that man can have peace with God, and that man can know forgiveness, and we can know eternal life, we can know that if we pass from this scene that we'll go into eternity and we'll be in God's presence, is something that God has opened up through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, even in the Old Testament times, there were those who believed, or prophets, men who believed by faith. As they look forward to that time, when that which is new would come, and the words spoken by the prophets would be used of God, and would look forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ would come and to give his life on the cross of Calvary. We have an illustration of that. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. As Philip came to him, he, in verse 31, and he said, "How can I," or let's go to verse 30. "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Understandest what thou readest?' And he said, 'How can I, except some man should guide me?' And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' And the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet, this of himself or some other man?' And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came into a certain water. The Ethiopian said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder thee to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. We have the story here of a man who was reading the old scriptures. He was reading that which was prophesied many years before. He was reading the scriptures that had given according to the inspiration of God through the prophet Isaiah. And as he read the old scriptures that had been written years before, he found new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And you see, this Ethiopian eunuch simply believed. And that one whom Philip was speaking about was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he had come to fulfill those scriptures. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Speaking there of the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung upon the cross of Calvary, as he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And we're reminded this morning that though the message may be old, as we've been hearing in the songs, it may be old-fashioned, but it has tremendous power to make the heart of man new and set man upon his way rejoicing. See, that's the new part that we see in the new wine. The wine could make the heart rejoice. But if the Lord Jesus was showing to those religious rulers that if you put old wine into new wineskins, as the wine would ferment, the old wineskins that would be weak would break and would not hold the new wine. And you know, we see that in even today. We see modernism. We see the religious rulers of today. We see apostasy about us that is seeking to come in and weaken the things of God. You can't mix the old with the new. And the old in this context is referring to the religious rulers. I use it in reference to the fact of the sin of the heart of mankind. But also you can see in the fact, as the Lord was speaking to the religious rulers, you can't mix man's religion with the things of God. It can't be done. You can't mix the old in with the new. It just doesn't work. And today we see a great mixture in Christendom today, and many teachings that are the modernism and teachings of man, seeking to mix them with the things of God, and it certainly will not work. We need to stick to the simple teaching of the Word of God. We see the garment. Sewing a new piece of garment on an old, in an old garment. And what happens is the garment, it's new, it doesn't mend, it doesn't bend or shape to the new garment, and it tears the old garment. And it doesn't mix. And you know, the wine speaking of the inward heart, when we come to realize the freshness of the wine, the new wine in the new wineskins, and the fact that God's Word into the heart of man creates new life, and as a result, there's an outward evidence of that work of God. And we see it as we see the garment, speaking of that which is outward. And you can't mix the old with the new in our walk with God. And you know, sometimes we like to go back to the old as a child of God. Though we have come into the new and have tasted and partaken of the new. Sometimes it's possible for one to return to the old and to take upon himself the ways of the old flesh. And sometimes we want to go back to the domineering of the flesh and allow the flesh to take control, to go back to the old ways. And you know, sometimes it happens. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It's possible to fall away from the things of God and to fall into sin in the life of the believer. Sometimes we fail to recognize what we have really been saved from. If it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be today? And there's so many things you could think that a man could be involved in today apart from the grace and the mercy and love of God. And sometimes we fail to recognize the value of the new. And it's a dangerous thing when we look back and place value on old, that which God has passed away, and we turn to the old and recognize the value of old rather than the tremendous value of that which is new. Possible for anyone to be overtaken in a fault, but we're to restore. We're to be brought back to new again, to restore that one in the spirit of meekness. Perhaps maybe we may get discouraged, or trials, or difficulties come upon us, and we begin to value the old rather than recognize the value of the new and recognizing what God wants to do in our lives. It's a danger of falling away to the old. We need to keep our eyes focused on the new, which God has done in our lives. I think there's different things that we can focus on. Let's turn to Romans 12 to keep our minds on the new. In verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing of the mind. Allowing God to transform our mind, that our mind might be focused on Him. It's the renewing of the mind. We need our minds to be centered on Him. We need our thoughts to be focused on the new and that which He has for us. Let's go to Titus chapter 3 and find another thought again. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's a renewing of our mind. And there's a renewing work of the Holy Spirit of God. He's coming into grips with the fact that the Spirit of God dwells within us. And it's renewing the fact in our minds that it's the work of God, it's the power of the Spirit of God that transforms us, that causes us to grow in the things of the Lord. It causes us to go forth. It causes us to have the peace. It causes us to have the joy and the rejoicing that He can give because of the renewing of the Spirit of God. It's all His work, isn't it? The new is all His work. And the Lord Jesus Christ brought in that which was new, that would redeem man's heart and set man on the right path by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Spirit of God. Speaking there of the washing of our sins, of the new birth, and speaking of the renewing work of the Spirit of God as He, His power within us to redeem us, to forgive us of our sins, and to cause our mind to be stayed on Him and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the renewing that God is seeking to do in our lives as children of His. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. I would just like to focus a little bit on the what is called the better millennium. You hear so much today, and we have a past year of the new millennium, the millennium that was to come, the merchants and so on use that as a way of advertising and getting man's attention, using the word millennium. We don't see the word in Scripture is used that way, but we do see 1,000 years. Psalms reminds us that 1,000 years is a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. And we find that Daniel speaks concerning the 70th week. And we find in the 69th week that the clock has stopped for Israel. And there's a week that is yet to take place and is yet to come to pass. The time clock for Israel has stopped. And the 70th week of Daniel will one day begin when God in God's time. After that is the time in which is called the kingdom in which the Lord will set up. Now let's look at Matthew 26. For the sake of time, I'm going to begin at 27. And He took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This was the last time that He was going to sit at the table with His disciples and celebrate this feast of the breaking of the bread, speaking of His body, and the cup speaking of His blood. He would not do it again until the kingdom would come here on earth, when they would gather at the kingdom time, and He would drink it new with them in my Father's kingdom. Why didn't He mention that He would eat as well with them? Only spoken of here is the cup that He would drink with them. Somehow I think that He who is will be the center of the kingdom will see His body, will see the the wounds in his side and in his hand. But we'll always be reminded of his precious blood. Man will never forget that it was his precious blood that redeemed us. Even in a time that is yet to come, in a time when he will be there, we'll drink of the cup that always reminds us of his precious blood that was shed on the cross for our sin. He will drink it anew with them in the kingdom. Now we find that there's characteristics of the kingdom. And as I was going through scripture, I saw a number of times. Many times we see concerning the kingdom that he will rule and reign. Let's go to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah 3, and we'll read verse 15. And the Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Wonderful thing to look forward to when he's in our midst. We will not see evil anymore. You see, it's the Lord Jesus Christ as the King in our midst. And in that day it shall be said of Jerusalem, fear thou not. To Zion let not thine hands be slack. For the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The Lord himself, the King, will be reigning in the kingdom. Now there's a number of passages that speaks concerning the aspect of his kingliness. And we don't have time to turn to them. Remember when he was born, wise men said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And reminded in his death that Pilate put over him that he was the King of the Jews. Ultimately, he would take that position on the throne as the King of Israel, of the Jews. But it was not time, it was not in God's plan at that time, but that he was to become the Savior of Israel. That was God's plan. He was to be the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. But at this time that Zephaniah is speaking about, he will be in the midst, and he will take that position as the King. Today he is sharing the throne with the Father, isn't he, in glory. He's sharing his Father's throne. And today there's no king upon the throne of David. They have no king. But in the better millennium, in the kingdom that is to come, he's going to reign upon the throne of David. He's in the midst. And we will rejoice with joy. We'll rest in his love. With joy in his singing. Because he's there. And he's the one who sets up the true millennium. Let's turn to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Joel speaks much of the judgment that will be poured out upon mankind. We see a prophecy here that speaks of something new that was to come. And in the midst of judgment, God speaks through this prophet of something new that was to come. In verse 28, in chapter 2 and verse 28, shall come to pass afterward, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. This prophecy we see here has been partially fulfilled, hasn't it? Something new took place. Acts chapter 2 speaks concerning the church. When God instituted the church, it was the Spirit of God that was poured out at Pentecost in the early, in the beginning of the church. It began the birth of the church at that time. The Spirit of God came and was poured out upon those that were there at that time as Peter preached. And it was the beginning. It was the beginning of God's establishment of the church. And the Lord Himself would be in the midst of His own people. In the midst of judgment that Joel speaks about, tremendous new birth that will take place in the birth of the church, in which the body of Christ would come into fruition. And as we gather together, and those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior become part of His church. And it's great to know that God has a plan that He carries out throughout the ages. There's nothing new with God, is there? God knows the end from the beginning. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows all about us. There's nothing new in God's eyes. He knew even before the foundations of the world that the new birth of the church would take place. He knew that you and I would be born even before the foundations of the world. He knew that we would be here. There's nothing new with God, is there? But with man, as we look, sometimes we find ourselves looking to the old, failing to recognize that God wants us to look to the new and to press on, to look forward, and forgetting those things which are behind, and to press forward to the new, because God's, in His eyes, there is nothing new. He knows the end from the beginning. So I trust it will be an encouragement to us as we go forth, as we recognize what God has saved us from. And we trust that He will help us to focus ahead, to joy and to rejoicing in what He has done for us. And as we look forward to the time when we'll reign with Him, when we'll sit with Him, and we'll rejoice in His peace and love, in His kingdom time, certainly we have much to look forward to. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we do thank You for Your word. We do thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for all that he has done for us. And Father, help us to look forward to the new, and help us to be focused on you and seek to put you first in our life. And Father, there's so many things about us that would seek to distract us and to cause us to look back and to cause us to focus on the old. And help us, Father, to realize that the new is far better, that we have much to look forward to in him. Help us, we pray, encourage our hearts in our Savior's name. Amen.